Subscribe to TourCloud Radio on iTunes, Stitcher and Google Play, or download the Podbean app on the App Store or Google Play and search for TourCloud Radio, all one word.
You are now listening to TourCloud Radio, sports, nerds and pop culture.
Go right back to, oh, he must be a fan just because of Ron.
I mean, they were good at one point, you know, when they had Iverson.
So I would say you gotta subscribe to this podcast and my podcast.
What's up, podcast world?
What's going on, guys? All right, welcome to today's episode of GoingForTwo.com's Press Coverage Podcast presented by Talk Loud Radio. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. All right, guys, before we get into the show today, I just wanted to quickly give a shout out to the other podcasters here on Talk Loud Radio. Of course, we have the Pay Me No Mind show hosted by Wood. He does a lot of entertainment, does some boxing stuff, so definitely check out his show. We also have the Let's Podcast by ClashOfTheNerds.com. Josh and his team over there, they do a lot of movie reviews. Basically, any kind of nerd topics. I'm sure they got Pokemon Go. You know, that's the big thing right now. So I'm sure they got a podcast for that. Pretty cool concept. They play video games and then talk about the latest, quote-unquote, nerd topics. So check out his show as well. You can find them both here on Talk Loud Radio. Alright guys, so today's show, we're going to talk about some fantasy football here. We haven't done fantasy football on the podcast here since last year, so it's a little bit early, but I know some of y'all are doing drafts already, some of y'all are in dynasty leagues, so we'll talk some fantasy football today. I got two guests coming on the show today. We have Shane, aka Nostra Dumbass, coming on the show. He came on before the NBA Finals, basically gives predictions on things that usually end up being awful. So that's why he gets the nickname Nostra Dumbass, or a.k.a. Jinx. Then we have a little bit more of a serious guest coming on. He's from Fantasy Football Lounge at WordPress.com. His name is Benjamin. He's going to come on. He sent me some of his rankings, his early rankings. So we're going to talk about his rankings and different questions I have as far as why he ranked different guys and which spot he ranked them. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Let's see, what else is going on? Of course, if you haven't been to the site in a while, we got tons of fantasy football content right now. We've actually expanded our writer pool for fantasy football. We actually have five writers plus myself. So we've got tons of perspectives, different content to look at there. Of course, we also have the best mock draft tool out there. You can find that on the sidebar, or you can look at the menu at the very top where it says fantasy football. Just click on mock draft. You set your parameters, you know, 10-team, 12-team league, PPR, standard, where you want to draft from, the whole nine. And it actually will randomly select one of their experts to draft against. So each time you do it, you'll get a different result. So it's a pretty cool tool. Definitely recommend checking that out, doing some drafts before you actually do your real draft. And then on the daily fantasy side, I do have this awesome, awesome site that we're kind of affiliated with now, and that's goatscore.com. That's goat, G-O-A-T, and then score.com. Basically, what this does is you go to FanDuel or DraftKings, and you upload all your history into the goatscore.com. There's a tutorial on how to do it. It's pretty easy. If you have an iPhone, actually, you can do it with the iPhone app. Just search Goat Score in the App Store. It's basically a push of a button. And basically what it does is once it updates all your history, it'll give you what they call your Goat Score. Basically, if you think of it like a Madden rating, it tells you basically how you're doing. And then what that allows you to do is they create every day, they'll create contests based on your score, where you compete against only people that are in your score range. So you're not going to be playing any of the sharks, you know, any of the guys that are going to have super high scores. You can avoid them. They've actually just added a head-to-head tool now too, so you can create head-to-head matchups and set your parameters as far as who you want to play. You want to play 60 and under, say 60 and 5 and under, you know, whatever the case may be. you play, you know, only the people that can, you know, have that score can join your game. So it's definitely an awesome, awesome tool. It's big. If you want to join my squad, the goingfor2.com squad, basically all that is a leaderboard of all my listeners. We just started, so we're small. We only have four people, I think, signed up right now for my squad. But you can just go to my site, goingfor2.com, look on the sidebar for where it says get your GOAT score. Click on that. You sign up through there. It'll actually add you to my leaderboard. If you've already signed up, you can still join my squad. You can join multiple squads. So if you already are in a squad, you can still join mine and just kind of compare yourself to my listeners and my readers. So pretty cool tool. I would definitely check that out. We're going to be promoting it big time for the NFL season. We're going to have squad battles where we'll battle other, you know, websites or other Facebook groups. You know, the Going For Two team will go against other groups. So I would definitely check that out, guys. So on that note, let's go ahead and get Nostra Dumbass on the phone.
He goes by many names. The Jinx, the Curse, the Kiss of Death. His predictions aren't always wrong, but they are never right. GoingFor2.com presents, from the Talk Loud Radio Studios, Nostra Dumbass and the Worst Predictions Ever.
All right, guys, we are here today with Shane, a.k.a. Nostra Dumbass. The last time he's on the podcast was before the NBA Finals, and he gave his predictions for the Finals, so we'll get into that a little bit. But today we're going to be talking some football. We're going to look at every division in the league, and he's going to give us his division winners for each division. And then we'll talk some fantasy, give us his top plays in fantasy and some sleepers. So we'll get into that. Hey, Shane, how you doing tonight?
What's going on, Jeff? Doing good, man. How about you?
Good, good, man. So last time we talked to you, you predicted Cavs in five. They didn't win it in five, but they did win it.
I'll tell you, I got a little nervous. My old prediction of winning in five was complete opposite when the Warriors were up 3-1, and the Cavs just looked depleted. So I figured I might be a little screwed on that one, but all of a sudden LeBron, with the help of I think my sleeper J.R. Smith, stepped it up a little bit as well. A little bit of help also from Kyrie, of course. They ended up getting the job done. So, you know, what happens when that happens? Kevin Durant joins the Warriors. So I guess that's another topic for another day, though.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, I'm actually chalking it up, you know, because we call you the Jinx. I'm going to chalk it up to my prediction just overruling your prediction, because I did pick Cavs in seven. So I'm still not giving you that victory just yet.
Hey, kudos to that one, man.
All right, so let's talk some football, man. I know it's July and it's super early and so many things can change, but we'll get some early predictions here. I won't hold you to these predictions when the season starts. Obviously, we'll do another show where we can do some more division winners and stuff like that, but I just figured we'd get you on. We'll do some early division winners and talk a little bit of fantasy. You okay with that?
I'm good, man. Let's get it started.
All right, well, let's just go ahead and kick off the big division for you. I know. It's near and dear to your heart, and that's the NFC East. Of course, you're a Washington Redskins fan. So who you got taking this division?
Well, I am a Skins fan. I do love my Skins. As far as the division goes, I honestly think it's going to be a battle of two teams this year. I don't think Philly's going to do much of anything. The Giants could definitely improve, but they're just so hit and miss that I really just haven't understood that team in a while. It's going to come down to the Cowboys and the Redskins. I just think that's going to be obvious. I think 10-6 is going to win the division, possibly 9-7. But I honestly think if the Cowboys, as far as the Cowboys go, if Tony Romo can stay healthy, I think they just have the upper hand. You know, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, joining that roster as a rookie, and then they took my Alfredo sauce, Alfred Morris. I think they have the weapons. You know, Jason Witten's still there. He's an old man, but he makes plays. And Dez obviously was missing Romo last year. I mean, that whole team was missing Romo. And you throw Ezekiel Speed, not to say he's played an NFL game yet, and he could break his leg. We don't know that yet. Not saying I hope he does, but anyways. I think that team has just the upper hand. Their offensive line alone could win games alone, just, you know, with a running attack. And then you got the ball in Romo's hands, just dead downfield. I mean, they possess a big threat. But on the other hand, you know, my Redskins have a shot as well. Obviously, that offense is starting to gel as of last year with Captain Kirk, knowing he's going to be the starting quarterback this year. Not to mention my rookie coming in, Josh Doctson. That's going to hopefully provide a spark that a lot of people are saying should be the best wide receiver in the rookie class this year. And not to mention Josh Norman. Our defense is so revamped in the secondary. Some are saying we might have the best secondary in the league this year. I'm both ways about that. I know Josh is a product of his defensive system, his zone. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. I think that's going to be a tight race, though. But if you ask me to give you probably the favorite, even as a Redskins fan, I honestly think the Cowboys have the upper hand. I think that they have the best chance of winning the division this year.
All right, a Redskin fan picking the Cowboys to win the division. I almost feel like this is a reverse jinx, that you actually think the Redskins are going to win, but you don't want to go on air and say that and jinx them, so you're going to pick the Cowboys instead.
It's always hard to predict me, Jeff.
All right, now let's go to a division that's near and dear to my heart. Now, you can't really jinx us anymore than we've already been jinxed, so let's go ahead and go to the NFC West. We got the Cardinals, the 49ers, the Seahawks, and the now LA Rams. Who you got?
I'm going to have to go with the Seahawks. I still think they are the best team in the league over there. But I'm not. It's hard to predict what the Rams are going to do, especially, I mean, if Gurley can come out and have a good year. I think they have a legitimate shot. But I mean, right now I got the Seahawks way out in front. I think they're going to own that division personally.
You're not buying into.
I am, but you know, if a certain quarterback over there can win some playoff games and not choke, I think they'll have a good shot. I know they had a good record last year. I don't see it being that good this coming season. With Carson Palmer, of course, that I'm talking about, but. I give the upper hand to the Seahawks. I still think they're going to pull out ahead in that division. I'm an advocate of Russell Wilson. I like his play style. And, I think they're just going to end up on top. I can't see the Seahawks. I can't see the Cardinals having a season like they did last year. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Carson will come down to earth a little bit, this season. So, I'm going to give the upper hand to the Seahawks.
All right. Going Seahawks in the NFC West. All right, now let's go to the NFC South. And, of course, we got the defending NFC champs, the Carolina Panthers. We got the Falcons, the Bucks, and the Saints. Who you got winning this division?
I think it's going to be the Panthers by a long shot. I don't even think this division is going to be close, to be honest. You know, the Falcons, I think they've got a little bit to prove this year because, you know, I don't know. I don't know the story about Matt Ryan. You know, he doesn't perform when it's time to perform, in my opinion. I just don't think he's that type of quarterback. You know, in my opinion, the Carolina Panthers probably have the most explosive player in the NFL. And it's, you know, without a doubt, Cam Newton. He's a dual threat. He's a running attack and a passing attack. I'll be talking about him a little bit more here shortly. Not to mention Kelvin Benjamin's coming back. That offense is going to be explosive this year. They're going to put some points on the board. Their defense is still intact. I think that's just going to be a blowout. I don't think there's going to be no competition in that division. I mean, I got the Panthers maybe losing 2 to 3 games this year, if that. They'll be right back in it.
Yeah, that's definitely a pretty weak division after the Panthers. I mean, Falcons, Bucks, and Saints are all sort of middling teams. I think I have to go with you on that one as well with the Panthers winning that division. Okay, now we move into the NFC North. This is a bit of a tough division because the Packers and Vikings are pretty neck and neck. Then we got the Lions, who lost Calvin Johnson, and the Chicago Bears that seemingly should be improved this year. Who you got in this division?
So this is a little bit of a twist. The Vikings are not going to win it this year. I'm sorry. For anyone out there who thinks the Vikings are going to finish in first again, it's not going to happen, and this is my guarantee of the night. I guarantee the Vikings do not come out in first place again in this division. You look at the Packers, Jordy Nelson's back. End of story. That's all there is to it. Jordy's a huge part of that offense. He's back this year. They're going to flow. And then you look at the Bears. They they actually have a few perks on offense this year. What are we going to see about Kevin White? That's one on the other side of Alshon Jeffrey. And another key element to this team that I'll also be talking about later on in the segment is Zach Miller. Obviously, Martellus Bennett is not there anymore, but a lot of people don't know, but Zach Miller stepped his game up last year. Him and Jay Cutler were flowing. So this Bears team, not saying they're going to win a division, but they could make some noise. They could upset some divisional games. Not completely counting them out, but I think the Packers are going to win that division. After last year, I think the Vikings beating out the Packers for that season, I think that's, I don't think we're going to see that for a while. I'm skeptic to see on how they'll perform this year, especially with that crucial loss and the blistering cold in the playoffs. I don't know if that's going to kill the morale for another season, but I think A-Rod was sitting back just wondering how did that happen to him. And I know Jordy Nelson's licking his chops at the bit right now. I got the Packers winning that division by at least 2 to 3 games.
All right. So just to recap here, we got Cowboys winning the East, Seahawks in the West, Panthers in the South, and Packers in the North. All right. So let's jump into the AFC now. We'll start with the AFC East. Of course, this division has been dominated over the years by the Patriots. Any chance that changes this year?
No. One word, Patriots. I mean, can we argue against history? I mean, we really can't. The Dolphins got some studs in the wide receiving core. Not going to be enough. I mean, Patriots. As long as Tom Brady is playing in Massachusetts and he's still throwing a football up there, Patriots aren't going anywhere for a while. And they've got kind of a big deal tight end up there too. So, yeah.
All right.
Next division.
Next. All right. So we'll go look at a division that we've got a couple friends in common that, you know, have teams in this division. That's the AFC West. Of course, we know a guy that, you know, loves the Broncos and a guy that loves the Chiefs. I'm actually having them both on this week to do a podcast for a preview show for both those teams. So, whose heart are you going to break? Who gets first place in this division?
I mean, what about the Raiders, Jeff? And you know what? I'm going to throw it out here right now. I'm not picking the Broncos because I'm wondering how they're going to play. You know, they did lose their quarterback. I don't think they're going to be the same Super Bowl team. I give the Chiefs the advantage. Don't get me wrong. If they're running back and stay healthy, you know, obviously their defense is phenomenal, but there's a quarterback over with the Raiders that's throwing to a very, very good wide receiver, and that team's starting to gel. They're going to make some noise this year. Not saying they're going to win the division. I'm sorry. That's not who I'm picking. I'm not picking the Raiders, but I think they have just as good a chance. They're doing something special over there in Oakland. Obviously, I'm talking about Derek Carr and Amari Cooper. Them two alone are definitely getting it done, not to mention they're moving Kyle Long back to the guard position. That's going to help their offensive line a lot. I think that team's got something to prove. They're a younger team. I like them. Not this year to win the division, but you give it a few years from now, and if they continue doing what they're doing, you know, they could definitely make some noise. But yes, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think they still have their team pretty much intact from last year. I think their defense is only going to improve. Jamal Charles, I think he'll have hopefully a big season. We'll see. But I think the Chiefs are gonna do it this year because I'd have to see the Broncos the first few weeks, but I think the safe bet right now is obviously the Chiefs.
All right. I will make sure to tell Brandon that you picked the Chiefs because I'm sure he'll love that knowing that you're a jinx.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be very happy. Sure he is.
All right. So let's go to the AFC South now. This is probably the worst division last year. The Titans, the Jags, the Texans, and the Colts. I think the Texans won the division at 9-7, but they could have won it very easily at 8-8 or even at 7-9. Who you got in this division?
I mean, should we just flip a quarter? Or this is definitely a hard division to pick, and I guess I'd have to go with the Colts. Truthfully, I got to roll behind Andrew Luck this year. I think Luck's going to have a great year. I think he's going to perform a lot better than he did last year. Hopefully, you know, hopefully the Colts can just stay consistent and keep points up on the board, and Andrew can have a phenomenal year. I think he single-handedly can win this division. I'm going to have to roll with them. I just think this division is just so much of a toss-up. It's hard to predict. It's a mediocre division. This could be one of those 7-9 divisions taken first.
Yeah.
And honestly, it might end up being that way. But just with Andrew Luck, and they still got T.Y. Hilton, who's a proven veteran wide receiver. You know, I think this will be the safe pick. They got the experience there. And Andrew, I think he's got something to prove this year. And I look at him being a stud quarterback. He might not be your QB1 this year, but he's a very high-ranked tier 2 quarterback, in my opinion. I think he alone can make, you know, he can make some noise this year as well. So I'll go with the Colts.
All right. And to wrap up the divisions, we got the AFC North with the Bengals, you know, pretty good last year, then lost their quarterback. The Ravens were pretty awful. Steelers were decent. And, of course, we had the Lily Browns. Who you got in this division?
I think the Steelers. I think the Steelers are going to be one of the best teams in the league this year. And I'm saying that flat out. I'm actually scared to play them opening up Monday Night Football as a Redskins fan. But, I mean, in my opinion, I think they're going to have the best running back in the league, and I think they're going to have the best wide receiver in the league. So I'll lead on to that here soon, shortly. But I know Martavis Bryant is out for the year, but, I mean, when you have Antonio Brown catching footballs and Le'Veon Bell, if, you know, his rehab and everything goes well with his leg, I think their offense can be explosive. And, you know, Big Ben has been there before. He's got the rings to prove it. I think that their offense alone can just take that division wholeheartedly. And honestly, I think that's going to be a division where the Steelers go out up by at least 4 to 5 games. I think they're just going to dominate that division. They'll be a totally different team this year.
All right. So let's recap the AFC. We got the Patriots winning the East. No surprise there. We got the West with the Chiefs. AFC South, the Colts will take that division. And the AFC North, we have the Steelers. All right. Let's talk a little bit of fantasy now. I know it's July. You know, no one's really done a whole lot of research yet. But I just wanted to get this in there, get some, you know, some of your top picks, who you're looking at so far for your fantasy squad. Of course, you're in my main league. You know, we're going dynasty this year. So let's start with quarterback. Who is your top fantasy quarterback? If you were to draft today, who would you pick?
I mean, it's Cam Newton, and it's Cam Newton by a long shot. I mean, I don't even really think it's close. I mean, obviously I could go, Aaron Rodgers. I think those two stand out way above the rest. But Cam Newton's got that dual threat, and that's what puts him so far ahead. I mean, how many times did he rush the ball last year? How many rushing touchdowns did he have? That alone is a statistic in itself. And I don't see that dropping too much. I mean, he's in his prime right now. He's got Kelvin Benjamin back. I said that earlier. I mean, the guy, he doesn't even need weapons, in my opinion. He is a weapon. And you know, if you think about it, he's one of his best wide receiver, if not his best wide receiver, is back. And I mean, a lot of people didn't think Cam Newton was going to do what he did last year when Kelvin Benjamin was out. People didn't even predict the Panthers to go that far, not even have that good of an offense when Kelvin was out. But we saw what he did without Kelvin. Can you imagine what this kid's going to do with Kelvin? And I think that's going to go a long way. So I've got Cam Newton. I mean, I've got him way at the top of my board right now as, you know, quarterback wise.
All right. So now we'll go and we'll look here at running back. I think you kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, but who do you guys, your top running back?
Oh, yeah, it's without a doubt. Le'Veon Bell. You know, I got Gurley up there as well, and I'm a huge fan of him. Even David Johnson. You know, obviously these are the top three. And I'm really scared. Like I said, I'm scared of that MCL, PCL tear that happened to Bell. But with the fact that Martavis Bryant could be out of that offense, there's a good chance Antonio Brown could get, you know, double team, which I'm sure he will. I mean, Brown or Le'Veon Bell is going to get a huge workload this year. He'll be a pivotal part to that Pittsburgh offense, which will make Pittsburgh, you know, as good as they'll be this season, in my opinion. But, I mean, I would definitely gamble on him. He's obviously proved what he can do. And if he's at 100% by week one, then, I mean, he's gonna dominate. I mean, 2,200 yards, 80 receptions, 11 touchdowns. I'm reading, you know, with as far as Bryant's stats. I mean, that's a lot to make up for. You know what I mean? So we'll see what Le'Veon does, but I'm pretty sure you know, that's my number one pick.
Okay. All right. So now wide receiver. Of course, he's the consensus overall. I'm assuming you're taking Antonio Bryant, or are you going to surprise us with somebody else?
Well, Antonio Brown.
Brown, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, no worries. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely taking Antonio Brown. Actually, Antonio Brown, I'll go ahead and answer the next question that's coming up here shortly. I'm taking him number one overall and, you know, overall player. And, I mean, that's just without a doubt. I mean, you go on ESPN, you go on any sites right now, you go on goingfor2.com. you should see that Antonio Brown, he's up there. He's definitely being picked by number one by a lot of draft experts. Not saying I am one, got some experience, but I got Antonio Brown way above the list. You know, DeAndre Hopkins, I got him at the number two. You know, and Will Fuller just arrived in Houston. So that's hopefully will take the double coverage off DeAndre. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be enough, especially in PPR leagues. I don't think it's going to be enough to overrank Antonio Brown. I mean, that's a clear-cut favorite. Now, hard to argue this. A lot of people are like, well, you know, Romo healthy. I mean, Dez will definitely step up, which I agree with. And honestly, a lot of the mock drafts I've been looking at, they don't have Dez too high. I got Antonio, DeAndre. I got Dez at number three this year. Yeah, I'm going past Odell. I'm going past Jordy. But, I mean, with that offensive line from the Cowboys, and if Romo stays healthy, I mean, Dez is going to have a field day. I don't know how he's not, you know, how he's not higher on some of these boards I've been looking at. But to answer the question, it's Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown. What about Julio Jones? You got Julio outside your top three, top four?
I mean, that just depends on what Matty Ice can do, you know. And of course, I like that Falcons offense. And I think, you know, Julio is definitely a threat. But, you know, like I said earlier, Martavis Bryant's out. That's huge. That's huge for Pittsburgh. You know, and Antonio Brown is what their key weapon, obviously, as far as, you know, Le'Veon Bell is as well. But I think that Pittsburgh offense alone, I think they're just going to gel. And I think, you know, they're going to put up a lot of points. And I think Antonio Brown is just a good, consistent pick. He's proved what he could do. And, you know, he's going to prove it again next year, the next season. So, you know, I got Antonio going with it.
All right, good deal. So like you mentioned already, top overall can be Antonio Brown as well, so we'll skip over that one. Let's go ahead and jump right into some sleepers. Give me two or three guys you're looking at that are going kind of late in drafts that you'd like this year.
Well, just real quick, Jeff, if you don't mind me adding a little segment here, Jordan Reed will have better stats than Rob Gronkowski this season. I'm calling it right now. Jordan Reed will be the number one tight end in the league, and Greg Olsen. Jordan Reed's going to be number one. So mark that as a guarantee.
All right. Tight end. Let me write this down. Jordan Reed, number one tight end overall. Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely. That's all what right. I'm telling you. He will have better stats than Gronkowski this year. You throw in Vernon Davis on the other end. You throw in Josh Doctson. And you obviously you got Deshaun, who's going to be double-teamed downfield. And if Jordan Reed can stay healthy, and he's got Kirk to work with all year and all minicamp, this kid's going to be even better than he was last year. Not to take anything away from Gronkowski, obviously people look at him as the number one tight end in the league, which he may be. But I think stats-wise, I think you're going to see Jordan Reed with better fantasy football stats than Gronkowski this year. Mark it down.
All right, I did. I wrote it down so we can talk about it. All right, so let's go ahead and talk sleepers now. Who you guys are sleepers?
All right, so as far as like positional sleepers, one sleeper that actually comes to mind, in my opinion, now I'm going to talk about some deep sleepers and then, you know, just some regular sleepers. Some may consider this a deep sleeper, but I think at tight end, you have to look at Zach Miller. And, you know, I mentioned about this earlier. Before Martellus Bennett got traded, Jay Cutler had some time to work with Zach Miller. And, even, you know, with, you know, excluding week 12 last season, Bennett didn't play. I don't think he played week 13 either. Could be wrong. But a good stat is that Miller, he posted in with 11 catches for 183 yards and had three touchdowns on top of that. He outscored Bennett, who had 16 catches and only 115 yards for one touchdown. Miller might be a huge target to Jay Cutler this year. And I think that's going to give even Jay Cutler a bump as, you know, having a good quarterback on your bench for that bye week. Just someone to hold on who could be potential trade bait because also got to remember, there's a kid named Kevin White that's going to be back too, playing on the opposite side of Alshon Jeffrey. Now, Kevin White's going to open up the field a lot, which should boost Alshon as well for those who are looking for a good wide receiver number one in the draft. I think that team just all comes together this year, and there's key elements on that team you could pick out that could, you know, play that good sleeper role. But Zach Miller, I think, is one of my best sleeper picks. I'm looking at him at tight end. Okay. And obviously, deep sleeper I just talked about was Kevin White. Didn't even have a chance to get on the field last season, but from what I'm reading about in training camp, he's looking solid. He's actually catching footballs. So hoping that sophomore can have something to prove as well, because that might be a good wide receiver to pick up. You might not even have to worry about drafting him. You can probably pick him up off free agency, but that all depends on who you're drafting with as well. I mean, right now he's kind of being recognized, but I'll still consider him a sleeper. Going over to the Raiders, I was talking about earlier as well. I mean, obviously, Amari Cooper and Derek Carr, all they do is score points. You know, I played them a lot on FanDuel at the end of last season. They helped me out a lot. So I don't know how high they're going to go up on the boards, but I don't see Derek Carr too high on there. Amari Cooper, he's high on some of the boards. But those are just, like, key players, like, you want to grab onto. You know, they might even be good trade bait at the end of the season if you're building a powerhouse team and everything goes well. Or you may even end up holding on to these guys. They have something to prove. But I like those two as well. And I like, you know, I like Jay Cutler as a deep sleeper as far as the quarterback position. And then obviously Zach Miller, I like him a lot at the tight end position as well. Those are going to be like my key sleepers right there. And of course, I think I mentioned Kevin White as well, but that's kind of who I'm looking at right there. Okay. I'll say another one that I was kind of looking over as well. And this kind of just all depends on how this team plays as far as running the ball. It's my man Matt Jones with the Redskins. If he can hold on to the ball, I just think he's got the speed to be a proven threat. And not to mention we lost out for Morris. So we got to do something. We can't throw every down. And exactly. I mean, the kid's still a young running back out of Florida. He's already proven he's got the speed to do it. I mean, I was in tears when we played the Giants last season. He fumbled in the end zone. He's got problems holding on to the ball. I mean, there's so many touchdowns I watched just fall to the ground, literally, because this kid could not hold on to the ball. And it's, you know, it's agitating. But if he can mature a little bit, keep his hands on the rock, this might also be another running back to keep your eyes on in the late rounds just to hold on to. But I think I'll end it on that note with a Redskins player.
All right, good deal. So let's see, you got the Redskins not winning the division, but then you got Jordan Reed as the number one tight end and Matt Jones as your sleeper. So you may have jinxed your team after all. Who knows?
I told you, you'll never figure me out.
All right, hey, man, I appreciate you coming on tonight. I look forward to the season and having you on a weekly basis to give us your picks for the week. Again, much appreciated, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me on, Jeff.
You're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent and thinking to yourself, I would love to challenge just one of his players, not his entire team. But your fantasy sports service doesn't allow that. Now you can with the all-new No Halftime app. The No Halftime app allows you to create challenges using individual players. You can pit Bryce Harper versus Mike Trout or Chris Davis versus Matt Kemp. Easily create private or public challenges for all the major sports, MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, PGA, and more. You can even play for free. For more information and to download the app for iOS or Android, visit nohalftime.com. Receive a cash bonus by using promo code G42 at signup, and get a free t-shirt when you make your first deposit. Real money and fantasy supremacy await you. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break.
All right, guys, welcome back. As promised, we are here with the founder of Fantasy Football Lounge. His name is Benjamin Vasconcelos. It's a hard last name to pronounce. Hope I said that right. You can follow him on Twitter at FFootballLounge. And also his site is fantasyfootballlounge.wordpress.com. Benjamin, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. You got the last name correct, so we're good to go.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So let's start by just giving all the listeners here a little intro to you. Just kind of go over your history in fantasy football, how long you've been playing, And then just talk about the site a little bit, how long you've been doing it, and where do you think you hope to take it to?
All right. So I've been playing fantasy football, it seems like, my entire life, but I would actually say about like probably the past decade. I got into it probably my freshman year in high school, and it's just been addicting ever since. So created the Fantasy Football Lounge within this past year and a half. I thought just jot all down all my ideas and make it into something. So it actually started with myself and then a couple of buddies of mine. We were all just sitting around talking about fantasy, and we said, well, might as well create a site and some podcasts about it. So that's how it came to be about. Looking just to really get as much exposure as we can, take it to the next level. Just continue doing, explaining in all fantasy realms, maybe taking it more down the podcast line like yourself. We're really excited to be where we're at and continue going.
Good deal. Now, where can we find the podcast at?
The podcast you can typically find on our site. We just link it up to SoundCloud. So it'll just have a little thing at the bottom that says click here. And then the podcast will be pulled up on that.
Good deal. Good deal. So you can check out the site, fantasyfootballlounge.wordpress.com. All right. So you sent me some top tens of pretty much every skill position here. So we're just going to use that as our sort of our tool here to go through. Now, as far as fantasy football, what format do you play the most of? Do you pretty much stick to one format, or do you have a little bit of everything mixed into your leagues?
We have done a little bit of everything, but we kind of stick to the standard and the redraft. We tried keeper, but it causes a lot of people have issues with keepers, but especially where they're drafted and everything. But we typically stick to the standard and the redraft.
Okay. All right. So the rankings you sent me then are all based on standard ranking. Is that correct?
Yeah. For the most part, it's standard. Yeah.
All right. Good deal. So let's go ahead and just jump right in here to some of these rankings. We'll start with the QB rankings here. I'll just run down the top 10 real quick, and then we'll get into some questions that I got here. At the top, of course, we got Cam Newton. Number two, we got Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, Drew Brees. We got Big Ben at number six, Carson Palmer, Tom Brady, Blake Bortles, and then number 10, you got Derek Carr. And that's the biggest question I have for you right there is consensus pretty much has Derek Carr outside the top 10, but you put Derek Carr inside your top 10. What's your love for Derek Carr? Why do you like Carr so much this year?
Oh, man, I love the underdog. Let's just start with that. I like what's going on in Oakland. Bortles was another one that kind of proved it last year as well. High-powered offense and just lit up the field. And I feel like Derek Carr is going to be doing that with his stats. I think he threw about just under 4,000 yards last year, and he had 30-plus TDs, and his INT was at a low at 13. And coming in this year, he's going to have Amari Cooper in his second year, which I think he's going to have a phenomenal year as well. And last year, we all saw the resurgence of Michael Crabtree. So I think his weapons are just beginning to expand. And I think he's going to be able to air it out a lot more. And their defense is young. They've added some players. And I think Jack Del Rio is going in the right direction there in Oakland. And I honestly see that Oakland sleeping and stealing that division. But I think this is going to be Derek Carr's year for breaking out. Sort of, more than he was last year.
And say sort of a coming out party for Oakland. They've been sort of predicting this thing, you know, it seems like every year, but now I think everybody's sort of on that bandwagon there where they think Oakland's going to take that next step. I think you're spot on with Derek Carr. I do think he takes that next step. I think of your top 10 compared to my top 10, I think I got Phillip Rivers in the top 10 over Derek Carr. But I think Derek Carr definitely, I mean, like I said, I have him at 13. It's not that huge of a jump to take him into number 10. And being a younger quarterback, being in the high-powered offense, like you said, with the two good receivers there, I can definitely see him ending up the season in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah, I had Rivers right out on the outside looking in on the bubble, if you would say. But I just feel San Diego's offensive line needs some work. And I know Rivers can air it out, but I feel like Oakland's wide receiving core is just a tad bit better than Rivers. That's why I gave the edge to Carr.
Good deal. Now, you got Tom Brady at 8. Now, is this taking into account his suspension, or is this assuming he plays all 16 games?
I'm going to say a little bit of both. I still think, regardless of what I think the max is going to be like 4 games, but his numbers last year were ridiculous. Just when we think that he's done, he just defies the age of time and just continues to, you know, just be better and better. So it's hard to go against him. And, you know, the quarterbacks this year is deep. So I believe that no matter, like, even if you draft him late in the rounds, it's still going to be a top 10 value here. I think he's still going to get close to 4,000 yards and 30 plus TDs if you minus 4 games. So I still think he lasts the top 10s, especially, you know, with Gronkowski playing like the freak show that he is.
Yeah, I got this argument with a friend of mine saying that Brady gets suspended for 4 games that he should be outside the top 10. And he was basing it on basically taking 4 games off of his point total. And I was trying to explain to him that you're not going to get a zero for those 4 games. You're going to have a replacement QB.
Exactly.
For those 4 games. You have to take into account that, you know, when he comes back, and I believe it's week 6. I think they have a bye in week 5. So I think he comes back week 6. So if you take into account your replacement level QB for the first 4 games and then Tom Brady for the rest of the season, I think he's still in the top 10 for sure. I think if we get definite answers before the preseason, I think, you know, if he's going with the other, I think he can definitely move up in the ranks. Because you're right. I mean, this guy, just when you think he's finished, he's not finished, and he ends up having a crazy good year.
And it seems like they want to throw, with all these things at him. You know, last year he had a chip on his shoulder, and he was ridiculous. So I can only imagine, you know, with his suspension being upheld, that he's just going to come back with a bigger chip on his shoulder and dominate even more. And like you said, you know, if you can sneak a Stafford or someone as your QB that can suffice for 4 games, you know, with you plug Tom Brady in that lineup, it's top 5 material.
Exactly. Now, I think if you were to go back to 2014, it's almost the perfect example. He started that season off really, really slow to the point that he was being dropped in some leagues. So if you take that into account, he ended up in the top 10 in that year as well. So if you figure if he started off the year slow, you know, being on, you know, not being able to play at all, it's not really going to affect him too much. I think he comes in and pretty much takes over from where he left off.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So let's go look at your running back rankings now. I'll list the 10 off here. So Le'Veon Bell, of course, at number 1. We got Todd Gurley, David Johnson, Adrian Peterson, Lamar Miller at number 5, Zeke Elliott at 6, Doug Martin. We got Devontae Freeman at 8, Mark Ingram and Jamal Charles. Not really a lot of surprises there, I think. The biggest thing I had is, are you buying the hype on Ezekiel Elliott?
You know, as a DC native and a Washington Redskins fan, I hate to say that I am, but I have to. Simply because Dallas has got one of the best offensive lines in the game. And we saw that if Darren McFadden, who has bionic legs, can master 1,000 yards behind that offensive line, a guy with Ezekiel Elliott's talent has got to be able to get 1,200 plus yards in a rookie season. I mean, you think about if McFadden was healthy and Morris was, you know, the Morris of old, you could argue for the fact that maybe they'll take 10 touches away from him and he might only get 15 touches. But I think once like game 4 comes about, Ezekiel Elliott's just going to get 20 plus touches. Like, I think he's too talented not to. And with Tony Romo being as injured prone as he is, as well as Dez Bryant, Dallas is going to rely on him heavy. And the volume that he's going to get, I mean, he has top 5 potential written all over him, possibly top 3 if he can, you know, adapt to the NFL quickly.
Yeah, I had an argument on Facebook about this. Of course, McFadden, I believe, is injured already. But someone was telling me that they thought that Alfred Morris would take away some touches and even Lance Dunbar would get some of the passing down work. And my argument was this. Alfred Morris, when he was in Washington, was not a back that could catch the ball at the backfield. I think his total, his most he ever caught in the season was like 13. And then Dunbar is not an in-between tackling kind of guy. So to put one of those guys in, you're pretty much tipping your hand as to what you're going to do. You're either going to run it if you got Alfred Morris in there, or you're probably going to pass it if you got Dunbar in there. If you put Zeke Elliott in there, then you have no idea what they're going to do because he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run between the tackles. It really opens their offense up to pretty much do whatever they want. And I think there's just no way you take a guy like that off the field to put in, you know, an aging Alfred Morris or a one-dimensional back like Lance Dunbar.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he could switch the pace for you, and he can go north and south as well. I think McFadden was the really only guy that would have taken away some touches, but now since he's injured, I think that just puts him behind on the depth chart. But, I mean, as long as Ezekiel Elliott doesn't wear that crop top every game, I think he's going to be all right.
All right, so of your top 10 running backs, obviously you feel pretty confident in all 10, but if you had to pick one guy that you were least confident in at finishing as a top 10 back at the end of the season, who would you take off that list and why?
I would have to take Jamaal Charles off the list. Now, he barely made it in his 10 for me. Like, I had – it was debating between him and Carlos Hyde for me at number 10. I say that because it's just a ritual for Jamaal Charles to get injured every year. He plays 5-6 games, then tears whatever ACL, MCL, whatever it is in his knee. Seems like he's torn every single ligament in there. And he's great when he plays, and he's always young. But, like, with that, with, you know, Ware and Chandrick West there, like, I think they have a good trio. But there's a reason that they're keeping those guys around is – I think they're just going to slowly and slowly take those touches away from Jamaal Charles, and I think they're going to be even more effective. I mean, it didn't really seem like they missed a beat when he was out. I put him in here just because he's Jamaal Charles, and he always has the possibility of being top five if he can stay healthy 16 games, but I just don't see it.
Okay, all right. I'll definitely agree with you on Jamaal Charles. There is one other guy that I wanted to just talk about because I was doing some research for an article last night for Fantasy Pros, and I came across the schedule for this particular team. I won't give his name out just yet, but these are the teams that he's playing on his schedule for the year. He's got the Panthers twice, so that kind of gives you a little bit of a hint of which division we're talking about. Yep. He's got the Chiefs, he's got the Cardinals, he has the Broncos and the Seahawks, and he actually has Panthers, Broncos, Seahawks in a 3-game stretch. And I'm talking about, of course, is Devontae Freeman. Now, that's some really good defenses there. And actually, the Panthers, they get in the championship week in week 16. So I could see that Atlanta offense really struggling this year with those type of defenses on their schedule. What do you think of those?
I agree. It seems like Atlanta gets off to a hot start every single year of this franchise's history and then just tails off. I've been reading a lot of stuff and hearing a lot of stuff as well that they're still high on Tevin Coleman. And they feel like that he's still the future back of the team and that, you know, Freeman's more of a receiving end. Now, you know, he had a high volume last year just because of the receiving yards, and he just always happened to find the end zone. I think, you know, now that you bring that up, I think there is a high chance that he does have a bust season because all the defenses that he faces. And I just feel like they are going to work Tevin Coleman into that system. I mean, I personally had myself, I had Tevin Coleman on my bench last year, and he was great for like the 3 games that he was playing.
Yeah, I think I had him too, and I had the opportunity to pick up Freeman, but Freeman was so awful in those games. I was like, I can't add him. And then I regretted it, you know, ever since then.
Yeah.
But, all right. So let's go ahead and look at your wide receiver rankings here. We got Antonio Brown, of course, is number one. We got Julio Jones, OBJ or ODB. I get debates on which one we're calling him. But, of course, we're talking about Odell Beckham Jr., DeAndre Hopkins at four, Dez Bryant, AJ Green, Allen Robinson, Alshon Jeffrey, Jordy Nelson. And then you've got this caveat for Brandon Marshall if Fitzpatrick returns. And then otherwise you got Keenan Allen. All right, so – let's see here. Now, let's say you have I'm going to ask this question sort of out of order here before we get to the wide receiver rankings. Let's say you've got a top three pick in a non-keeper redraft league, which it sounds like you play most of anyway. Yeah. Are you going wide receiver with Antonio Brown first, or are you still going conventional with the running back?
You have to go wide receiver. I don't think you can pass up Antonio Brown. It seemed like he averaged 20 points a game last season. No matter what type of league it is, I honestly think he's the number one overall player. And you can make the fact that I believe that Julio Jones could be the number two overall player. I think the amount of receptions that they get and their yardage is just ridiculous. Like, I feel that Antonio Brown could honestly get 2,000 yards this season. They're high-powered offense, and Julio Jones is always right behind him.
Yeah, I agree. As long as – I think there's two caveats to both these guys. It's Big Ben staying healthy for Antonio Brown,
yep,
and it's Matt Ryan just staying upright. I mean, I think he's one of the most sacked quarterbacks over the last few years.
Yeah.
All right, so now the one thing that did stand out to me when I was looking over your rankings is you don't have Mike Evans in your top 10. Is there a reason you don't like Mike Evans?
I think he's good for receptions and yards. It's just I saw the lack of TDs last season, and I just didn't feel like he made the cut into the top 10 with all, you know, everybody in the top 10 and what they had to offer. I think he's just on the outside looking in. I have him probably at 11 or 12. It's just, for me, it all depends on Winston. Like, there wasn't a lot of TDs last year. They did rely, you know, heavy on the run, as we saw with Doug Martin. And maybe in his second year, he feels a little bit more consistent, and maybe he airs it out to the end zone more. But, you know, they got some talented guys over there. If Austin Seferian Jenkins can get his head together, you know, he's going to steal some TDs, and Vincent Jackson might steal a TD or two. So that's why I had him on the outside looking in.
Okay. All right. I'll buy that. I think I actually went the opposite way on that. I looked at his rookie season when he had, I believe, 11 or 12 touchdowns.
Yeah, he did.
And then last year, I mean, he had ridiculous yards. I mean, he had games where he had like 13 catches and 200 yards,
yeah,
and no touchdowns. I just think something has to give. I think that sort of evens itself out, in my opinion. I think he lands somewhere in the middle there. I think, you know, he gets maybe not so much yards this season and not quite as many touchdowns as he had his rookie season. But somewhere in the middle there, I think, is where he lands, but I think puts him in his top 10 for me.
Where would you have him?
I think I'm looking at my rankings now. I believe, let's see, let me pull up my wide receiver rankings here. Yeah, I have him sitting right at 10. So it's not like I have him too much higher than you have him, but I have him sitting right at 10. All right, let's see what else we got here. All right, so the caveat that I mentioned about Brandon Marshall, of course, if Fitzpatrick returns, you have him at number 10. How far down does Brandon Marshall fall if Geno Atkins or Christian Berg is his starter?
Well, Geno Smith is awful to me. I don't know how he made the Jets team. I just don't see it with him. For some reason, Fitzpatrick captivates every fan's eye, like with the chemistry that he built with those teams, with the Jets. I mean, like, him and Brandon Marshall was a lethal 1-2 combo. I personally had them on my team, and I rode Fitzpatrick at the end of the year because he was just so hot, and it was just like TD after TD. Yeah. So with Fitzpatrick, I think Marshall is top 10, maybe even, you know, at like 6 or 7 with the amount of TDs that he has the possibility of getting. I would even propel Eric Decker into like the top 12 if Fitzpatrick comes back. I think Geno Smith doesn't have the accuracy, and the rookie's not going to, you know, put up that great of numbers probably, even though they do have weapons. But I think if Fitzpatrick did come back with the addition of Matt Forte, Marshall and Decker, man, that's just lethal. It's just too much one-on-one coverage.
Definitely. Now, what's your gut say about Fitzpatrick? Do you think he's going to be back in the Jets uniform this year?
Man, I think the holdout has been too long. My heart wants to say yes, but, you know, my brain's going to tell me otherwise, especially with, you know, minicamps, you know, all the practices starting, and Geno Smith getting all the first reps. I don't think he will, so I would have to put Brandon Marshall on the outside looking in as well, and that's why, as you see on the caveat, I had Keenan Allen at 10 if Fitzpatrick doesn't return.
Okay. All right. Now, none of the rookie receivers this year made your top 10, which I agree with. I don't think any of them are top 10 caliber. But if you had to pick one rookie receiver that could finish the year in the top 10, which receiver would you pick?
Well, as a Washington Redskins fan, I want to say Josh Doctson, but I'm going to have to go with it might be a top. I'm going to have to go with Kevin White. I'm going to consider him a rookie simply because he didn't play last year. But Cutler had a great year last year. He probably had one of his best statistical years. And Alshon Jeffrey's inconsistent healthy-wise. He might play like 12 games. If he can play 16 games, phenomenal. But if he doesn't, I think Kevin White's going to get a lot of looks. And I think that could bump his numbers up. If you want me to go for like a true rookie, I like Sterling Shepard out of New York. I'm hearing all great things about him. I think being on the opposite side of Odell Beckham is going to free up a lot of space for him. And so I think he has more of a breakout type rookie year. He could put up maybe, you know, 900 yards, maybe like six TDs. That would be a nice solid year, but I would have to go with one of them too.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I wasn't considering Kevin White, obviously, because he's not technically a rookie, but he kind of is because he hasn't played a single snap. So I think if he was put into that mix, I agree. I think situation there where he's going to be the number two next to Alshon, he's going to get a ton of volume. He can definitely put up top 10 numbers. And I actually have Sterling Shepard as an early sleeper, which the more and more I talk to the quote-unquote fantasy experts, the more I'm thinking he's not going to be a sleeper at all because everyone's picking Sterling Shepard to be the breakout rookie receiver. So I may have to go back
and talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. You got to stop mentioning him.
Right.
But yeah, I think in that Giants offense, I mean, Victor Cruz, who knows where he's at in his rehab and if he's ever going to play again. I think the Giants offense, even if Victor Cruz comes back, I have to imagine that Shepard is going to surpass him on the depth chart, and the amount of targets he's going to get in his rookie season is going to be ridiculous. So
yeah,
I agree with you on both of those calls there. All right, now looking at tight end, you know, tight end typically is very top heavy. You know, once you get down to, you know, the 5, 6, 7, 8 range, you're kind of just guessing on what you think will happen. But tight end actually this year is fairly deep. There's some pretty good tight ends, probably more so than I think in any other season that I can remember. I've been playing now for 15 years. But with that said, is it still Rob Gronkowski in a tier by himself and then everybody else behind him, or has Jordan Reed sort of closed that gap?
You're tugging at my core here with the Redskins, but I think Gronkowski's in another level on its own. Like, even with the Brady suspension, I think Garoppolo getting the start, he's gonna, you know, all young QBs rely on the tight end, so I think he's still gonna see a heavy amount of targets from Garoppolo. You know, I just think he's still in his own tier. As much as I love Reed and I love what he did last year, I need to see it one more year to officially be convinced. I do think that the Redskins have different schemes that they can line up, but I think Jordan Reed could be more similar to like a Jimmy Graham when he was at the Saints lining up just as a wideout. But I feel like he's still not on the Gronk level. I think Gronk's still in his own category.
So is it Gronk at tier one and then what, Jordan Reed at tier two, or do you put Greg Olsen or Travis Kelce up there in that second tier with Jordan Reed?
I would have to put at least Olsen up there with Reed just because he's been reliable, and with the limited targets, I mean, Kelvin Benjamin is coming back for Cam Newton, but Greg Olsen's Cam Newton's safety net, especially around the red zone. So I would lump Reed and Olsen in together as tier two. And then probably, you know, after that, I would start with Kelce.
All right. So you kind of talked to this a little bit, but does Gronk's rank change at all with Garoppolo? Or are you still just going to go with number one overall for Gronkowski?
I think he's still the number one overall. I think you can't view it as that. He may have like maybe a point or two in, you know, decrease from when Garoppolo's in to Brady's in, but you know, he's the top target there. He's going to get this still the same amount of volume. Their running game is who knows. I mean, they could have somebody off the streets in their week three, so you never really know. So he's really the only consistent one there. So I think it doesn't matter. I think you still draft him at maybe that 9 to 12 range.
All right. Yep. And you kind of, you know, took that as my next question there is, where are you taking him, like in the draft? Is he a first round pick in a 10 team league?
In a 10 team league, I might say he'd be on the outside looking in. My own personal philosophy is I don't like to draft tight ends before the 8th round. So it's really hard for me to take a tight end especially with this class, I think it's a little deeper. But I consider Gronk, you know, almost like a wide receiver. So I would say 9 to 12. If it's top 10, probably not. I would more aim for him on that 11-12 back round.
Okay. All right. I actually took in my league, a couple of leagues, my last year, I took Gronkowski at the end of the first round. Now, granted, these were, you know, larger leagues, I think 12 or 14 teams. I think I got him in like the 9th or 10th, maybe the 11th spot. And I think of the first round picks last year, I think he was probably the only one besides Antonio Brown to actually stay healthy. And Brown was, of course, had those few games without Roethlisberger where he wasn't that good. So I think he ended up being the top, you know, first round pick, I think, for the season as far as point total and production week in and week out, which is amazing, obviously.
I know, that was a steal for you. It's just hard. Like, the whole concept of drafting a tight end in the first round is still really hard for me. But then I never take it, and I always regret him because every time he faces me in a fantasy league, it's like he goes for 3 touchdowns.
Exactly. That's why I had to take him. I did the same thing. It's the first time I'd ever taken him. I think I took him in 2 of my leagues. And like I said, he ended up being fantasy gold. I mean, you basically have a wide receiver at your tight end position, which you can't really say that, you know, in any other position where you've got like that kind of production drop off from 1 to 2.
No, yeah, you talked me into it. I'm taking him at 11.
Good deal. All right, so we're going to close this out here. I want you to give me a sleeper pick and why you think there are sleeper picks from every position here, quarterback, running back, receiver, and tight end, someone you think that's maybe outside of the sort of the consensus picks here that you think might sneak into to be a starter for the season this year.
I think it's going to sound biased, but I think you got to go with the captain. I think you got to go with Kirk Cousins here. He's currently ranked in most drafts at like maybe around the 15 range. But the numbers I'm seeing, they're predicting him to get well over 4,500 yards. They're also giving the Redskins the number one rank in the wide receiving core. And I think he's got a lot of weapons. And I think, especially since they franchise tagged him, this is almost in a sense a contract year for him. So I think this is really going to be his coming out party, and I think he's going to blow up to whereas he's, you know, towards the tail end of the season, he was averaging 20, 22 points a game in standard leagues, and that's, you know, easily starter numbers. So I would have to pick him as my sleeper. My dark horse probably would be Jay Cutler just because he was consistent last year, and I think, you know, now that he's under John Fox another year, I think he could put up some solid fantasy numbers as a solid QB2.
Yeah, I agree with you on Kirk Cousins. Actually, he's one of my sleeper targets that I've been targeting in all my mock drafts. It's either going to be him or I'm looking at Jameis Winston as well.
Nice.
Winston ended up as the 13th overall quarterback last year, and that's with a slow start.
Yep.
And this year he's being drafted as the 18th quarterback overall, which makes no sense to me. You have to expect him to take, you know, a step forward.
Yeah.
If he was 13 last year, he should be top 10 this year, with, you know, without a doubt. So, yeah, definitely. So give me your running back sleepers.
Well, like you said, he's not really a sleeper anymore, but J.H.I. So I'll disclude him because everybody's picking him now in, like, the 4th round. So right. I would have to go with Amir Abdullah. I think now that Bell is out of the mix, Calvin Johnson is out of the mix. They've seen the type of talent and capabilities that he has in Detroit. And I really think their offense might be a little bit more, like, surprising than people think. I think he might not get more on the rushing end, but I think he could be like a Deion Lewis, where he gets maybe 600-700 yards rushing and then maybe 400-500 yards receiving. So I think he's definitely a sleeper to look in the later rounds. That could be a plug-in at, like, a flex play or maybe, you know, end up, like, high-end RB2.
Okay. All right. I actually have the other running back from Detroit. Now, granted, I do my rankings based on PPR, which changes things. But I have Theo Riddick ranked as one of my sleepers there. He's, you know, had 8 receptions last year.
Yeah.
Doesn't get much running, but I think from where he's being drafted, I think he could have a huge season. But the running back that I really wanted to talk about as being a sleeper, you know, I just mentioned Theo Riddick because we talked about Detroit. But I'm talking about your boy there in Washington, you know, behind Matt Jones. We got Chris Thompson, I think. Is it Thomas?
Thompson,
yeah. You know, he's an excellent PPR back. You know, Matt Jones has yet to really prove himself. I mean, he had a great beginning to the season, and then he couldn't hang on to the ball, and his yards per carry went down to nothing. So if he stumbles at all coming out of the gate, I think Chris Thompson definitely has a chance to – for some fantasy football gold right there. What do you think of that pick?
I like it. If he can stay healthy, he's like another Mighty Mouse. I think that, you know, with Matt Jones' fumbling issues, I can see definitely Chris Thompson coming in on third down and doing, like, receiving end. Like, I think Chris Thompson, with the way you're saying it, that he could end up the way Bilal Powell ended up this past year, like, just taking off on the receptions. Even if it's in, like, garbage times, I think he can rack up those fantasy points. Yeah, so I would have to say it's a good pick.
Yeah, just from watching, because I too live in the Washington, D.C. area. I'm in Northern Virginia, so I see all the Redskins games. All my friends are Redskins fans. And just from watching the games last year, I mean, he looked like the best running back on the field whenever he was in there. I mean, he was more explosive than, you know, obviously Alfred Morris. He seemed to have more confidence hitting the hole than Matt Jones did. Matt Jones got happy feet towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
Just from the eye test, he seemed to be the better running back. Now, that could change. Matt Jones has a lot of potential. He could come into the season and just own the position. But I think as a sleeper pick in the late rounds, I'm taking Chris Thompson for sure.
I like it. I'm not going to disagree with you on that one.
All right, now let's go into wide receiver. Wide receivers are always hard because there's just so many to choose from. And you have,
the list goes on, at least
these two or three positions of wide receiver, and you got a flex position you can put a receiver in as well. Who are you looking for deep down there at the wide receiver ranks?
I like Kamar Aiken. I really do. I know the Ravens signed Mike Wallace, and you still have the big name Steve Smith. But you look at Kamar Aiken's numbers last year, he ended with 944 yards and 5 TDs, and I feel like he's the number 3 wide receiver right now, but with the connection that he developed with Joe Flacco, and I think the trust has been built there, I think that's a steal in the late rounds. He's going 10+. He could easily be a starting wide receiver because you just never know with Steve Smith's Achilles injuries and Mike Wallace fell off the face of the earth in Minnesota. Like, he could end up turning out to be a steal in the late rounds. So I would have to go with Kamar Aiken as a steal in, like, the 10th to 13th round for me.
Yeah, definitely. I like him a lot too. I think my pick is a little bit more like almost true sleeper. He's going to be hit or miss. He's either going to blow up and take the position, or he's just going to be a dud. And that's Sammy Coates from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Marcus Wheaton last year without Martavis Bryant, those first 4 games or 5 games that he was suspended, was awful. I mean, he was just awful. I think he had a total of 9 receptions in those 5 games. Now, granted, he ended the season a lot stronger than he began, but that was more of a third, number 3 receiver position with Martavis Bryant on the field. I think if Sammy Coates can sort of show himself in the preseason that he can own that number 2 receiver spot, I think eventually he could overtake Marcus Wheaton in that, you know, obviously high-powered Steelers offense. And anytime that you're lining up next to Antonio Brown, you're going to see single coverage. I think Coates can end up being a late round gold mine there, I think. What do you think of Coates?
I actually like the pick. I think Wheaton's horrible. I picked him up and dropped him immediately after like game number 2. I had high hopes for him, but how do you not produce when Antonio Brown's on the other side of you and Martavis Bryant, you know, is in and out of action just because he likes to party all the time. So I think Coates is the guy. Like, if it's his for the taking, the way he's been playing. So if he can have 1 or 2 games in there where he has some showings, I think Marcus Wheaton hits the bench hard.
Yep, I agree. I've already heard some good things coming out of camp. I think the word used was either amazing or fantastic, I think, in regards to what he was doing in camp. I mean, granted, it's coach speak, and it's, you know, we're talking about football in July, so it's not like it's a lot of things you can take, you know, for face value. But, you know, when you look at that depth chart, I think Coates is the one that stands out to me for sure.
I agree. That's a deep sleeper right there.
All right, man. We're going to wrap that up now. I do appreciate you coming on tonight. Again, guys, you can follow Benjamin at @FFootballLounge on Twitter. Of course, you can check out his site too, fantasyfootballlounge.wordpress.com. He also has his podcast up there where you can find him. So give us a quick idea of what you got going on right now on the site. Anything you're working on?
Right now we're working on basically the best fantasy value for the divisions. So we're just wrapping up the AFC. We're going to be heading over to the NFC. And at each division on what team that you can find the best fantasy value. And then we'll be hitting out and debuting our rankings here soon with We'll probably be a little bit more expanding in the top 10. We'll probably do the top 20 just to give you some a little more depth for the different types of leagues there are. And then we'll probably be wrapping up with, you know, deep sleepers and what you should be doing in each of the types of leagues that you could be, whether it's PPR, Dynasty, Keeper, or Standard.
Good deal.
So come check us out.
Good deal. Great stuff, man. Hey, I appreciate you coming on the podcast tonight. And I definitely want to get you back on when we get into the preseason. We can talk about some of these preseason superstars that happen every year.
I'm totally in. Thank you for letting me on. And hopefully we'll have the privilege of having you on our podcast sometime here soon.
Definitely. I'm always willing to do that, man. Hey, you have a good night.
You too, man.